It's entertaining. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you smile. Sometimes controversial, but it'll always have you coming back for more. No, it's not Trump Wales IPA. It's everyone's favourite talking shop, home of the Fox's most poorly informed pundits. Welcome to the Foss Arms, and welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners, although it sure don't feel like it at the moment. Welcome to the Foss.
The atmosphere,
we've got extra bouncers on the door. It looked like it could kick off at any minute, to be honest. But to keep...
We've got Killer, good evening.
And Norm, good evening. Exactly. That's the gravity
vicious
dogs that have just turned up to add to the slightly snarly atmosphere we've got, guys. It's not good news. We normally gloss over the midweek game a little bit, and we're actually going to not let the players get away with that. We're going to come back and look at Blackburn in detail, as I'm sure you guys need the cathartic experience in the way that the three of us do. But Norm, first of all, wasn't it good of James Maddison to turn up and join 23 championship players having a kick around in Southampton on Saturday?
It was really exceptionally kind of him. Just before we go on to the game, I would just like to say something that amused me slightly. My children started watching the game where we beat them 9-0. Instead of the real one.
What, while it was on?
Yeah. I went into the room and watched the highlights of when we beat them 9-0. Unfortunately, yeah. Obviously, with this to do, I couldn't join them, however much I wished I could. I
mean, well, also, Norm, while we're on the subject of children, after the game, about half an hour afterwards, I got a call from my 8-year-old niece, who, to her credit, is a season ticket holder at Southampton, even though her mum and dad have got no interest in football. She goes down with another family. And she's got a really croaky voice. She phoned me up and goes, "Hi, Dem, Leicester are rubbish." I thought, oh, that is all I need. I'm getting abused by an 8-year-old girl in Southampton. How low can this get?
Well, hopefully not too much lower, but it's such a frustrating afternoon, wasn't it? You know, it started off and, you know, felt pretty confident. Thought, you know, a bit toothless, but felt in control. Thought, this is going kind of how I would have hoped it would go. You know, a bit edgy, but we looked like we were going to be the team that broke the duck, and, you know, obviously had a chance to do so, which unfortunately, however, it didn't find its way in. It didn't, maybe because we're just unable to score goals at the moment. But once they had their slightly fortuitous penalty, although you can't put your arms in the air, I'm not saying it wasn't a pen, but, you know, the ball's hitting from about a ruler's length away. And fair play to Ward, who last week I did accuse of not saving anything that he shouldn't have saved. You know, pulled off a penalty save, but which you'd have expected to inspire us and to kick on and go and, you know, use that as the catalyst to think we've had a chance. You know, we've given one to them. We've got away with it. Let's kick on. And it reminded me a little bit of the Burnley game a few seasons ago, when the season we stayed up. And Burnley missed a penalty, and I think, and then we went on to the other end of the pitch and scored. Obviously, this time it didn't happen. And for all the positive that Ward managed to do with the penalty save, which I did think was a decent penalty save, yet again, with a very high back line with our slow defenders, when the ball got played through, you know, the guy shooting from 20 yards just past Ward's foot, I am slightly disappointed that he didn't do any better with that. slightly disappointed that their goal scorer was still on the pitch. I think he could very well have got sent off for his challenge on Castagna a few minutes earlier. But after that, you know, we huffed and puffed and did some decent bits, didn't we? And created a few chances, simply couldn't put the ball in the net. Iheanacho's gone right off the boil. It just felt that the result was always going to be 1-0. I don't think I watched the game and ever really genuinely thought we were going to create enough to actually put it in the back of the net. And I think the Suter miss right at the end, and I will say it's a miss. He did well to get there and he was under pressure, but he's enormous. He should be keeping that ball under the crossbar. And sadly, at that point, a point away at Southampton would have been marvellous just to stop them catching up on us. But it wasn't to be. And I think all round, it was just an abject. And I'm always positive. As you know, I always try and look on the bright side. I always try and think, you know, we are too good to go down. I am actually beginning to allow my head to rule my heart. And I am getting very, very concerned, because I think you summed it up, Tim. There were a lot of players on that pitch that simply are not very good from both teams. And it is a huge, huge concern.
We'll come on and talk about our chances of getting relegated shortly, but there's tons, Killer, to pick out of what Norm's covered there. Lots of talking points, as he said. I mean, I'll throw a couple of stats at you, Killer, in no particular order, to pick out what you want. 78% possession at one point in the game, which was the early part of the game Norm was referring to. But at the end of it all, no shots on target now for Leicester City for 2.5 football matches. I mean, think about that in minutes. That's over 200 minutes without a shot at a goal. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be a good shot, just a shot at the goal. Two and a half games. But, you know, Saints had one win at home before that game. And Saints have done the double over us.
Yeah, bad day at the office. Like you say, 6 points dropped. Easy to say. I mean, you can never just be presumptuous in football and go Southampton, there's 6 points. But you would have to be disappointed if we were talking about this at the beginning of the season, if we didn't get at least 4 points out of those two fixtures to end up with nothing. Could make the difference, you know. And like you say, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. The weird thing about it is, in fact, strangely, Norm's used exactly the word that I used when my dad asked me what my verdict was for the game. It was toothless, but it wasn't without its positives. As you mentioned, had a lot of the ball, controlled the football match, did create chances. Madison's been on Twitter today, absolutely panning Rob Tanner. And effectively say, yeah, well, if you watch the game and you saw the chances we created, this team's going to be absolutely fine. There is an argument to say he's right. You know, another day, you stick a couple of the chances away, the game plays out exactly the same, but we put two chances away. We're turning around having a very different conversation. So I suppose if you want to take some positivity, we're going to have to, it's that at least we're creating chances and we've got plenty of the football, which I think is encouraging. But I'm with Norm. I never thought for one second we were ever going to score. It was just, you do get those afternoons or evenings in football where you think it's just not going to go our way. There was a little bit of that. But it is just all a bit worrying, isn't it? Seven defeats in the last 10. The most ridiculously roller coaster season that I can remember as a Leicester City fan. I've been watching them now for well over 42, 43 years. I can't remember a season like it in terms of huge form swings. And we're at that point in the season now where we are, I don't know about you guys, I'm starting to work out who the three teams are going to be that are going to finish below us if we are to stay up. And that's a real worry, isn't it?
This point about taking chances, I've not been wise after the event here. I know a lot of Leicester City fans would disagree with this, but the last two summer transfer windows, I thought the priority for the club was a centre forward. And the reason for that is that Vardy was always going to be getting older. You know, we've talked about this a lot. I'd have sold Iheanacho at the time, and Daka was unproven. And I really thought, Saturday crystallised that for me, because what a lot of Leicester fans wanted was a right winger. We got a right winger. He's not very good. But even when that wing, the winger, and even Harvey Barnes, even when the wingers weren't there, to your point, Killer, we could have won that game because we still had managed to create chances. I mean, Tete's created nothing for us since the Villa game. We still did manage to create chances. But the worry, Norm, is it's starting to look like Kelechi Iheanacho, you know, has reached a ceiling, that he isn't going to be reliable enough. We've got to see nothing out of Daka this season. And Vardy, I'm still giving a bit of a pass to be honest, because I've not seen Vardy missing thousands of chances. I've just not seen him getting created too many chances. And I wonder whether, is it maybe time to revert back to Vardy, understanding that Kelechi's not going to be the man to get us over this relegation line?
It's a really tough question to answer, because I think for me, Vardy just looks completely, well, just bereft of confidence, form, or anything. He's I don't know whether we should be bringing him back. You kind of feel you ought to, because of what he's done for us and how good we know he is. I think it's also a little bit harsh, I suppose, after a couple of games, to be completely, you know, ruling out Iheanacho from the ability to score goals, because he's done pretty well for us. He's missed a couple of chances, and it's wrong not to criticize. You know, it's not wrong to criticize him, but I think it's probably a little bit harsh to say he's reached a ceiling, because periodically he does do it for us. To Killer's point, I think there were elements of the game where we could scrape positives out of it, and on another day it might have been different. But I sadly have lost faith in Vardy at the moment. He's not. I think he's lost a bit of his pace. I don't think he's lost his hunger. I think he still wants to do well. He still tries very hard for the team. But I think there's a few times I've seen him this season when he's actually had a run in the team. The times when he would have scored, you know, he'd have broken clear of the defence. He's just not doing that, and I think it's just having a massive knock on effect on the confidence of the side. And of course, with Daka playing as he is, we are struggling. And I think, again, to your point, this does show that there are many ideas that we need to consider in the summer, which is surely going to be a huge overhaul, because we've got the right winger. As you say, he's not appearing to be as good as we hoped. Killer's alluded to the fact that playing with two wingers is a bit of a luxury. Agree with all these points, but it's still happening. And I think Rodgers is beginning to, you know, run out of ideas. But to Maddison's point, fair play, sticking up for the team. He's probably is right. You know, if we create chances at some point, we will score. But we do need to get one on target. And how a team can thump Spurs like we did on the 11th of Feb, you know, and play as well as I've seen as for a long time. And then suddenly, after, it's like the first half of Man U's just ruined us. It's like we should have been leading. We went in one down, and it's all gone horribly wrong since then. So I'm struggling to know I'm struggling to know which direction we should take.
That's one way of looking at it. Sorry, Killer. I was just going to say that's one way of looking at it. But, you know, the other way of looking at it is Villa and Spurs are a flash in the pan, frankly.
Yeah, but we knew this was going to be a season with a difference, didn't we? You know what I mean? And so this is the case. The thing is, obviously, all we do on this show, understandably, we talk about Leicester City. Okay, imagine if you're talking about Manchester United this evening. How do you legislate for 7-0? Well, you don't. This was a team that's, you know, that had lost one game in 22, then go and lose 7-0. If you're a West Ham fan, lose, draw, lose, go and win 4-0, go and spank Notts Forest. I mean, how, you know, it seems to be one of these seasons where we can look at how can we beat Spurs for, how can we beat Wolves? Well, the reality of it is there's lots of very, very weird Very weird results. How did Southampton beat Chelsea the other week? It's like that. It is one of these seasons. We just need to do whatever we can to make sure at the end of it, we're not heading back to the Championship.
I mean, Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm just. I mean, not that necessarily who we're playing is a huge positive, but after the Chelsea game at home, you know, we've got West Ham, Everton, Wolves, Bournemouth, and Villa are our home games. We've got now. There's a lot of 6 pointers in there, which is not necessarily a good thing, but they are games that are obviously very winnable, and if we do win. It could make an enormous difference to our season because not only are we winning, but we're also ensuring these other teams haven't done. Of course, it could go the other way. Hmm. But, you know, really at home, with the crowd behind us, then we should be getting results against all those teams, shouldn't we? And hopefully that would help us ease ourselves clear in the next few weeks.
Where were you on the attacking situation, Killer? So there's the... You know, I mean, I think we've all been in the camp of playing Kelechi recently because, you know, Vardy, either to Norm's point, has been out of form or to my point, has had the chances. For whatever reason, he's only scored a goal this season, hasn't he? Dakar's clearly not at the races. So it's been quite right. I think most Leicester fans would have been playing Iheanacho. But, I mean, when you see the chances he missed in the game like that, and you know, you think about this fantastic FA Cup record that he's got, And is it not just that, you know, he's got that fantastic FA Cup record because he's playing much weaker opposition and, you know, he can't be relied on in a game like that. The first header I'll give him a pass on because, you know, it still looked bad, but Fassi's hair was pretty much right in his face, which is quite a lot of hair in his face, if that's the case. And then, but the second header was completely, you know, he's got to score.
He's massively inconsistent, isn't he? You're quite right. He bags a load of goals in the FA Cup. Is that down to the opposition? Well, that would be a contributory factor. Can Kelechi Iheanacho score against top-notch opposition? Yeah, he can. We know he can. But the problem that we've got is we are talking about a wildly inconsistent player. But to come back to a point, it is easy for us, isn't it, to go out and buy a striker. You know, maybe that's what we should have done, gone out and buy a striker. But let me just level this before we say go out and buy a striker, because it's actually difficult to put a name on that person. And the reason it's difficult to put a name on that person is because everybody said in the summer when Arsenal bought Gabriel Jesus, they need a second striker. They got rid of two. They didn't get another one. Chelsea haven't got a recognised striker. Manchester United don't have a recognised striker. There's a reason for that. There's not that many of them out there, folks. And you only have to look at some of the duffers that have been bought. West Ham paid a hell of a lot of money for Skamaka. Can't get a game. There's a hell of a lot of players that people have gone, blimey, hang on a minute. You talk about a striker, who are we going to buy? You start dipping around the leagues. There aren't that many of them. And we're not the only football team that are a striker down, I can assure you of that. So it's easy to say in one breath, we should have got another striker. Just bear in mind, we might not have got a goal scorer, though.
Danny Ings, a friend of mine today, I was chatting about the match, and he just said, you know, it just looks in hindsight, why didn't we just go and get Danny Ings? You think about that game, he'd have put one of those chances away, surely. I mean, how many chances did Kelechi have? He probably... four or five, you know, not all fantastic, but I'm including his shots that went into the crowd and that sort of stuff from, you know, from reasonably wide open spaces. Four or five chances, stroke half chances. You'd back someone like Danny Ings. Well, the last two and a half games, if Danny Ings had played the last two and a half games, would he not have had a shot on target?
Leicester or London. If you're not from Leicester, where would you rather live? Leicester or London?
Yeah, but I mean, you could say that about any player not playing for London. I mean, he's played for Burnley, hasn't he?
No, but Leicester City have never attracted a big name. We've never bought a big name. The biggest signing this club's ever made is Brendan Rodgers. No, there's nothing else. We have never gone and bought somebody that we've ever gone, whoa, blimey, that's a big name. And he's in his golden years. And he's playing at the... We've never bought one. And there's a reason.
Andrew Impey.
Andrew Impey's a great example. Ricky Hill. Ricky Hill. Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of them. Plenty. You know, don't get me wrong. We've got a tune out of loads of players. But when was the last time this football club bought a player that we turned around and went, this guy is absolute guaranteed world-class quality? We've never bought one. We've developed world-class players. We've never bought one.
Esteban Cambiaso?
But there is an argument to say he was in the autumn of his career. We did get a great full season out of him. We got a great two-thirds of the season out of him. But in terms of marquee names, he's probably about it. And that's not great, really. And
Roberto Mancini.
I remember when he came down here, and he's probably the only footballer I've ever seen play where I thought to myself, I could run faster than you.
I think with regards to the striker issue, I think I may have solved it. Do you remember when Brian Little...
You imagine Brendan Rodgers is just... He's making a brew, isn't he? In the kitchen. He's just pricked his ears up.
This sounds like Baldrick had a cunning plan, doesn't it?
Well, after I've said what I'm going to say, you'll realise it is very much like Baldrick. Brian Little converted Steve Walsh Brian Little or was it O'Neill? Sorry. Anyway, Walshy, obviously going up front and making the difference for us. Maybe Yannick Vestergaard has
Daniel
the ability to terrorise Premier League defences with his enormous size. Yeah. What do you reckon?
Well, it couldn't get much worse. Killer, let's just talk wingers for a minute and then we'll come on to the Blackburn match, Norm. But In terms of wingers, Killer, so as I understand it, the new injuries that we've got, it would have been interesting, wouldn't it, with Ricardo playing to see whether Christensen would have started. I wonder if he might not have done anyway. But we had that situation at fullback. Then now the two wingers, Tete pulled off. I mean, would you dare start him against Chelsea anyway? And now Harvey Barnes has an injury. I haven't seen what that injury is. I don't know if you have, Killer. But obviously not good news.
No, but you know, neither of them playing well. I mean, Harvey Barnes has been rubbish really for the last few games. He keeps putting in 4 or 5 out of 10 performances. Tete looks like he's a one game wonder doing nothing. And you actually pose a good question. I think the real loss for me is of course Victor Christensen, because you always had the option, didn't you, of Pereira or maybe Castagne playing up the pitch and giving us a little bit more defensive solidity, if you like. No, not a great time to be getting injuries, Tim. And again, you look down the subs bench on Saturday night and it was horrible, wasn't it? You know, and we'll get on to the Blackburn debacle in a minute, but it was literally, it was like everything that you dumped in the toilet pan after Blackburn were all like still, they hadn't been flushed down the U-bend. They're all just hanging around.
I mean, if Madison's annoyed with Rob Tanner, what's he going to say about you?
Well, you know, and the thing is, and we'll get onto the wider Brendan debate, but I'll chuck my hat in the ring now. I've kind of been pro Brendan, albeit obviously there's been times where I've made the point that I thought his time was up when it didn't look like we'd got much money. But you know what has absolutely been the final straw for me? And it was the Blackburn team selection. Absolutely maddened me to the point. I was incensed by it. I was absolutely incensed. It was almost as if he'd had a massive punt on Blackburn and went, "Oh, what can I do to make this happen?" And that Brendan Rodgers is the reason why I'm afraid I am no longer in the Rodgers Inn camp.
Oh well, I was going to ask you two tonight because I remember James's email from a couple of weeks ago accusing us of flip-flopping, and I did say my conscience was clear. So, Killer, all right, you've had the good grace to come forward with your hat off. What about you, Norm?
I'm not sure. To be honest, I'm really not.
If you're not sure, make the case for him staying.
I just don't know who else we would have. I think the club needs a massive refresh. And I think that's from top to bottom. So with that in mind, I think there's a lot of changes. I think the manager wouldn't be a bad place to to start in many ways. But I do think he's still got the dressing room, and I don't want to blame everything on him. But where I do agree where he should, the reason that he should go is for exactly what Killer said, because I've not spoken to Killer this week, but I was fuming with regards to that team selection for a couple of days after. I was spitting feathers and cannot understand why he selected Thomas Samari and Amate at all. I mean, I just cannot get it. He has historically selected decent cup teams, but what I would say is to have Samarian instead of Ndidi or Mendy, you know, there's one or two of them. They weren't both going to play against Southampton. I mean, why on earth would you play a player that can't run against a team that all they're going to be able to do is really, really put it in there physically and battle and run? Absolutely the total worst player to select. And what Soyuncu instead of Amati, for goodness sake, come on. What has Soyuncu done to prevent him playing against a championship side, against over and above the hapless Daniel Amate, who, I mean, some of the passes that they were doing, I cannot believe I was watching it. Thomas was bad enough, but I do kind of get that with the, to a point, you know, there were probably some other issues there with the fullbacks, but those three would, I believe, cost us that match. And it was just embarrassing, utterly outplayed by albeit a decent championship side without two of their best players, I hasten to add. It was shocking, and I do firmly lay that result down at Rodgers' door, and that is probably why, if I was forced to choose, is why I'd probably pull the trigger rather than keeping him, because that's just upset me, especially given the draw. I mean, we'd have had Sheffield United, great side, to play again a championship side away with then a 1-in-3 chance of playing Brighton or Grimsby in an FA Cup semi-final made me even more angry.
Well, you've completely stolen my thunder, because one thing I would say about the Southampton game is that I thought his team selection was fine. I didn't have a problem with his team. Absolutely as livid as you were with the Blackburn selection of those three players. And, you know, we do it every week about Amarty, but I just can't let it go, because not only does he give away a goal scoring chance every single game, and by the way, the perfect pass that he gave to Dolan. I mean, Dolan's eyes must just have lit up and gone, you must be kidding me, mate. You're just rolling me the ball so I can just roll it past your keeper. But there's another theme emerging with Amarty. Within the first 90 seconds of every game, he tries to contrive a chance. Mm. And he did it again in this game. As soon as, you know, early stages, ball been passed around, five or six players, comes to him, whoops, he's all over the shop like Bambi on ice. I mean, to Norm's point, Killer, you know, and Thomas, I'm afraid you don't like to slag off a Leicester lad, but he's obviously miles out of his depth. The Samari selection was completely unacceptable for the very good reasons Norm's given. The other two couldn't both start, but it's the Amarty one that has made me so angry, because, you know, that is, if you're not going to play your proper team, at least play Soyuncu for that one.
Yeah, and the thing is, Tim, we're not saying this as an aftertimer. You and I were texting each other before kickoff, furious about it. So this is a couple of guys, we're just regular football lads who, you know, sort of like got full-time jobs, do other things and stuff. Could not believe it. Before a ball's been kicked, could not believe it. And this is going to sound really, really weird, because we've seen Leicester City have some right spankings over the years, and that's just been par for the course. I'm going to stick my neck out here for 65, 70 minutes. That is the worst I have ever seen a Leicester City team play in regard to we are playing a team from a lower league to us. I get getting spanked 6-0 and 7-0, and we've been done. Man United have done a 6 down here before. Spurs have done a 6. They are better teams. We are talking about a team from a lower league, and we can talk about reserves. These weren't reserves. This was the Leicester City first team squad, all of which have got plenty of game time this season. And Rodgers has gone back to the same crap that he's literally put out to graze, because he's almost gone, we're not really quite good enough. Brought them all back in to play a really lively team, well coached, and they've absolutely destroyed us. If we'd been 6-0 down after 60 minutes, we got, tell me if I'm wrong for this. I mean, how many chances did they miss?
Spot
embarrassing.
I tell you what, Killer, I sat watching that game, you know, silently applauding Blackburn. I thought, wow, you know, now they are not likely to finish in the top three. The top three in that division are pretty good sides.
Yeah.
And, you know, Middlesbrough have really come on, and the top two, yeah, Sheffield United wobbling a little bit, but as Norm says, very, very good side. And Burnley look like they absolutely nailed on to stay up in the Premier League. I watched that game and I thought, my God, you know, if we get relegated, we could struggle in the championship. I'm not saying get relegated out of the championship. I mean struggle in the championship, be a mid-table side in the championship, because they ripped us to pieces. And it was the motivation, the word that I was that came to me after I haven't got over the team selection still, so I don't know what I'm saying after I've got over the team selection. But after I considered other issues, Norm, other than the team selection, the massive gap in motivation between those two sides was the most damning thing on Brendan Rodgers.
Absolutely. And I think it's almost like they started off expecting to win the game. There just wasn't the hunger and desire there. And that is the biggest concern, I suppose, really. You know, it's the FA Cup. It's a trophy that we won for the first time in our history a couple of seasons ago, and a genuine opportunity to get to the latter stages. I mean, we've not played forgive the teams that we've beaten when I say this. We've not played a decent team. We've not played a Premier League team in our cup run, and we're out. And that's and frankly, could have been out. You know, we struggled in the other games, to be honest. It's just an absolute disgrace. And the players, whilst I blame Rodgers, I do blame that defeat. I put that at his feet. The players do have to take some responsibility for not deciding to wake up until sort of 20 minutes to go. When we could have sneaked it, undeservedly so. I mean, Blackburn were deserved winners, and you're right. I hope they go on and do very well in the competition. But
the players woke up, Norm, when we took the dross off.
Yeah, exactly.
They?
Yes,
and that's exactly Tim's point. Really, I don't necessarily think it was so much about attitude. Rather than, we have just seen firsthand that those players should never be playing at this level and will struggle in the championship.
Yeah, I think all three of them would not be slam dunks to be playing in a championship team. I really don't. I think I've not seen anything. You know, Amarty's got a league winner's medal. I mean, I've never seen anything from any of those players that made me think, no, get shot. I mean, they're in the Tete camp. I think we're all saying Tete is get shot, isn't it? I don't know where his performance from Aston Villa came from, because you just look at a player, you've seen a player's ability over half a dozen games now, and you just think, no, he's not got it. I mean, most football fans, I think, will be able to do that, and then there'll be disagreements about certain players here and there, and is he better than he? But I think a lot of football fans will be able to look at a player and say, at the level they're watching, that guy isn't at it. And I think quite clearly, you know, we didn't really want to say that about Luke Thomas on day one, did we? Because we were desperately hoping we had another one of our own coming through. But I think we've known with all these players from the very first get-go that none of them are good enough to play for this football club. Killer, as you back firmly in the Rodgers out camp, the Express ran a story today with four managers. It didn't look to me like it had a lot of legs, that story. But the four managers that they mentioned were Thomas Frank, which when you put me on the spot a couple of weeks ago was the name that I've come up with, and I think he's the obvious one. Second one was Ralf Hasenhüttl. Third one was Benitez, and the fourth one was Pochettino. If I flip the question around that you asked me a couple of weeks ago, what would you do now? And then, Norm, I'll come on and give you a reason why the club still might not do it.
Right. Well, okay. Dead simple. I don't think we are going to prize a Premier League manager away from their club, right? If we were to sack Brendan Rodgers. I think you can forget that one. Just isn't going to happen. For me personally, now, I agree with exactly what Norm said. I think there needs to be a summer reconstruct. So I think you're looking now for a stopgap manager who could potentially, by the way, win himself a contract. Okay. I would go all in Ralf Hasenhüttl.
Right, wow. Okay. Well, Norm, I'll let you react to that comment first.
Well, just because of how he's done it Southampton, it just doesn't inspire me. But I suppose he, you know, there's an argument to say he was slightly harshly treated, and you know, has done quite well with a limited team, which currently we are. So I wouldn't totally poo-poo that, but I do think that where Killer is right. I mean, why would Thomas Frank leave Brentford? I know we're a bigger club than Brentford and could probably, pay him more money and maybe give him a bit of a transfer kitty potentially. But he'd be moving to a club where, you know, Maddison and Tielemans have left and various other players. So I would imagine he'd almost look on as a little bit of a poison chalice. You know, it's laughable to think that Pochettino would come.
Hold on, Norm. I mean, I disagree with both of you about Thomas Frank. You've just given three very good reasons why he'd come. I mean, he could look himself in the eye. Brentford are completely safe. He's in a fantastic job there. You know, jobs don't always come along precisely when you want them. They virtually always come along when a club is in something of a crisis like we are, and it may not be ideal for you. A lot of Celtic fans would have said it wasn't ideal for them when Brendan Rodgers left there.
He could find himself in the Championship next year. He's not going to do that if he stays at Brentford, is he, mate? That's the key. And I think the thing is, if you were Thomas Frank and you were Thomas Frank's agent, you'd be turning around right now and go, whoa, hold on a minute. You're looking up, not down. You know what I mean?
Where's his next move, Killer? So to Norm's point, Leicester's a bigger club. We would pay more money. And Top's going to sit down with, I sincerely hope, and say to him, look, you know, you got a big, we're going to give you a transfer kitty to sort things out in the summer. You've got to look how long we've given Rodgers. We treat our managers properly. 5-year contracts on the table. Away you go. I think that would be immensely attractive to him. Because are you suggesting that he would go to one of the big six then?
I'm suggesting he would be in that conversation because he's done so well. I mean, if you look at the big six, it doesn't look like there's going to be an immediate managerial change beyond Spurs, where there's something odd going on at Spurs with this Conte absence. I'm struggling to get my head around anybody that has an operation, comes back, then clears off again. And obviously he's always moaning and ball aching that nothing's quite right. He hasn't got any money to spend, despite the fact they've seem to spend $250 million every transfer window. So let's just imagine if he does clear off as expected at the end of the season. I think Thomas Frank would absolutely be in the conversation for the Spurs job.
Do you know?
Oh, well, I'm going to sit on the fence a little bit. I think he should be in the conversation for the Spurs job, but whether or not the big six still like perceive their manager, you know, their where they get the managers from to be like more of like the big names, I think that might be why Spurs wouldn't do that. But I think he'd be an excellent choice for Spurs, frankly. So I would hope he would be. But I mean, I think the other thing we've got to consider actually is I think it's very likely that Graham Potter won't be at Chelsea for very long. Now, would Graham Potter be a good fit for Leicester?
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, and the reality of it is, yeah, okay. Well, let's play that out then. Potter loses his job in the next couple of weeks. Would we take him? Yes, is the answer to that, Tim.
Well, I mean, I would rather have Thomas Frank, but I think, yeah, I think he'd be a good second. Funny enough, the mate I was talking to today threw in the Danny Ings shout. He said exactly the same thing. He said exactly what you guys have just said, that if Potter could well get fired. By the way, if he loses to us, he should get fired. If he loses to us at the moment. But I think, yeah, I think if if it transpires that Frank isn't an option, then I do, because I think I see him a bit like Thomas Frank. I see them both as sort of club builders, and I think that's clearly what we're going to need, you know, at this stage of the club's development. The infrastructure's all there. The stadium will be what it'll be, but you know, you're into complete overhaul time. And yeah, I don't know. The whole situation at Chelsea is a bit bizarre, isn't it? I think you've got to give a manager a pass. One fail, aren't they? They're allowed one big fail in their career, I think. So yeah, I think maybe we're all aligned on that then. But I'd like us to have a shot at Frank at least. Let's come on to Chelsea then, Noam. It's well, I mean, until these two shambolic performances this week and their victory, it was starting to look like a home game that we could win. I'm like you, I've identified where I think we can get enough points to be safe. I didn't necessarily have us beating Chelsea, but if we could get our Leicester back, things aren't right at Stamford Bridge, are they? It feels like a game where there's a chance still. It didn't even after this week.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think this is just a game where you might as well just toss a coin and heads we win, lands on the edge, it's a draw, and tails Chelsea win. It's like it really does feel like that, because they are certainly not in form. They are certainly not the Chelsea that we've come to know. And it's an enormous if Leicester turn up, then there's absolutely no reason why, if Chelsea aren't at the top of their game, why we can't get a result. But after the last, you know, the half against Man U and then Blackburn and Southampton, I'm lacking a little bit of confidence to think that we are going to turn up. But obviously I'm desperately hoping we do. But I think it's look, two teams that are really, really struggling, and I think we have got a chance. It's probably not a bad time to play Chelsea. They will be under pressure. They did grind out a win at the weekend, but it's only 1-0 against Leeds. And no disrespect to Leeds, we're not suggesting this was a vintage Chelsea performance. They just got a result, and frankly, that's just what we need. We don't need to have a Spurs-like performance. We need to grind out a nice 1-0 against Chelsea. Get our better defenders in the team. Try our hardest, get a rocket up their backsides and come out with fighting, because that's how we're going to win. We're not going to win by playing tippy-tappy, Tete Barnes football. We're going to win by getting in their face and really kicking it and just trying our very, very best, getting the crowd behind us and showing us a bit of desire. And if we lose and we've shown desire and we've done what we can, you know what, I'll take that. But that's what I struggle with after the last two games. We haven't had that. And can Rodgers get that back into the players by Saturday? I hope so. Otherwise, it is not going to be a nice experience. That is for sure.
And given, Killer, that the crowd will be turning up presumably in quite a bad mood anyway, febrile atmosphere, an interesting warm response for a couple of returnees, I would suggest.
You thought so, wouldn't you? There was obviously quite vocal anti-Brendan Rodgers chanting going on at Southampton. Has he lost the dressing room? Difficult to say. The Brendan Rodgers' team don't play with much fire, do they? They'll just generally try to play with the football. It's not a Martin O'Neill style football team. We need a bit of that, in truth. We need the Martin O'Neill fire in the belly. What can you do? And maybe without your two flair players, maybe having to turn to a bit of grit, maybe playing Mendy and Didi, maybe playing Dennis Pratt and saying, let's just try and keep the ball, maybe sticking Vardy at top and going, let's see if we can get the quick release ball going. Maybe that was a slightly different style of play. Maybe we just need that change. We need something, don't we, Norm? We need something right here, right now.
Yeah, something needs to change. And just like I say, just something that where we just show a bit of commitment. I think you're right there. I mean, you've said for the last couple of weeks that Barnes and Tete are a luxury. Maybe just having, if Barnes is injured, maybe just having one of them does provide that's solidity a little bit more. But yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what team Rodgers does actually pick. I mean, given that he left Vardy and Kelechi on, I mean, he must be thinking about whether he starts both of them.
And welcome back, Ben Chilwell and Wesley Fofana especially. Right, on to the predictor table then. This is going to be interesting this week. Obviously, we got nothing last week because we thought we'd beat the bottom team in the Premier League. Clearly not. So, table as it stands, Norm on 8, Killer on 9, me on 10. All finely poised. Chelsea, Killer.
Leicester City 1, Chelsea 2.
Norm?
I really, really want to just let my head and give the answer so I can actually get some points. But I'm going to go with my heart as always. And I'm going to pretend that the players are really going to put a massive battling performance in and they're going to scrape a very scrappy 1-0 victory.
That's one for me next book.
I'm going to go 2-2 with both goals coming from Danny Ward headers because no one else can seem to score. So,
and who's going to score for us?
Yes, a very good point. Norm, but any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. If any of the team are listening, which obviously they will be, you know, think of the fans. It means our club. It means so much for us. Put in the effort, battle, and we will get through this.
Killer?
I think there's too many football fans love to moan, love to barrack their team. They love a reason on a Saturday afternoon or a Wednesday night to start being really critical. Don't do it, guys. Let's back the team, as Norm says. Back the team through thick and through thin. And always remember this. You don't support your team. You support your club.
That's all, folks. We're all off to lace up our boots because of the way things are going. We'll be getting the call sooner or later. Have a great week. We'll catch you next week. Come on, Leicester. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City podcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City podcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.